In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's a lot of confusion within the gospel that we have here today. What is that confusion all about? There's a particular confusion here that maybe you could say John the Baptist was confused, or maybe he was despairing in some difficult way, or maybe it was his disciples who were at a difficult place. There's lots of questions one could ask. I won't rule for you, but leave all these things open for your prayer and meditation. You can search them out with the saints, and you can search them out in your own prayer. But what we do see is that there are questions that are asked. We could say that God is not known and he's not understood sufficiently, which is why they are asking. Is there sin in asking questions of God? I will share with you something. I get a lot of people who come and meet with me in my office hours. Any priest will tell you, you get lots of people who come into the confession who say, because they are doubting God, they feel that they fall into sin. And when you interrogate what that doubt is, they're not doubting. They're questioning God. They're saying, how is this possible? My life is going this way, or the church is going this way, or my family is going this way, or I see that there are so many difficulties here all about me all the time. How could this be what God actually desires, that he wills, that he permits? I don't get it. And so because I don't see things, it feels that maybe I'm doubting God. These are not doubts, but they are questions. And one thing that our faith puts forward, that so many non-Catholic faiths put forward, is that you're not allowed to question, that you just have to believe. But the Catholic Church says we are to question. We're to ask every question. Why? Because our God is a good God. Our God takes one name after himself, and he reminds we who are his people over and over again to call him by this particular name. In fact, it's a name for which the Jews crucified our blessed Lord Jesus Christ. It's the name for which many Jews continue to persecute Christians throughout the early time of the church. It's the name for which Muslims to this day still wish to kill Christians. Because we call God our Father. And any of you who are fathers or mothers for that matter, you know something about your children, is that they're full of questions. And no child sins, misses the mark, or fails by asking his father or mother questions, though often it is to our annoyance, for their questions are great and our patience is little. But not so with God, who is our Father. He never tires of our questioning. He desires to answer our hearts in their most intimate desires. And so we might ask the question, why is it then that God is not loved? That our blessed Lord is not loved within this world? There's really one reason why the whole world does not bow down to worship at our God, why the church is not always full every day, not merely on Sundays. Why is it not full? Our Lord Jesus isn't known. That's why he's not loved. It's because he isn't understood. That his message isn't made clear to them. That's the only reason why he is not loved. If they only knew, isn't that what St. Paul says? For he says, if they only knew, they never would have crucified the Lord of glory. But they did not know. What does our Lord say from the cross? He says, Father, forgive them, because they do not know what it is that they are doing. It is because our Lord is not known that he is not loved, and for that reason, so many fall into the error of sin, for he is not known. And so think about that for a moment. What beauty, what clarity, what transparency, what infinite depth of all perfection is contained within our God. There's not a single ray of light that does not imitate from that sun, nor a single divine movement of the soul that does not come from the interior point of God. There's not a single drop of heavenly joy that is not derived from the font of from whom all blessings come, that is Christ our Lord. Everything good and perfect comes from God. St. James writes about this in his letter. And knowing him and studying who God is, that just sitting within his presence in silence, feeling him, coming to know him, who could ever be capable of offending him, even in the slightest way? Why is our blessed Lord Jesus not loved? It's because he's not known. He's not known, and so he is not loved. And so we must bring him into our presence to taste him. But more than anything, we have to love him. We have to love him because what love does within the person, within the soul, within the Christian, within the Catholic, love, what it does is it draws us closer to him. The more we desire him and move to him with a loving ardor from our soul, the more we bring him close to ourselves. And what that love does, love is a light that shines forth in the midst of the darkness, that illuminates, that transforms. Love is something which unites. And so to be united to our blessed Lord Jesus, this King of glory, this light of our lives, it means to have ourselves surrendered to the very will of the Father. To be united with the person of our blessed Lord is to be one with him in thought and all of our affections, that is to say, all of our desires. It is to imitate in the poverty of our own souls that habitual or regular, normal movement of ourselves and that intimate state of Christ's soul, which is a reflection in its own right of the interior depths of who the divine word actually is. And if we do not know who Christ is and the intimacy of the way in which we've spoken in the sermon, if we do not love him for the light that he is and ponder at his beauty, and so we find ourselves so easily running away from the fold of Christ, so easily running towards sin, to whom should we have recourse? To the patroness of the season, the one who always presents us perfectly Christ himself incarnate, our Mother Mary. We go to our Mother Mary, who in this world has known the beauty of our blessed Lord Jesus as she has. Go to the one who loves best. She'll teach. Ask her. Over the course of this Mass, it's silent for a reason, so that you can meditate and just be with the Lord this time. Talk to his most intimate friends, his closest disciples, Mary. Ask her to show him to you in this Mass, to give him to you, for he wants not merely to be hers in possession, but to be yours as well. Ask her for the grace that she would actually take hold of you to cause you to imitate him, to love him, to sacrifice yourself for his sake in order to give to her as many souls as who might glorify Christ as there are on earth, so they will be eternally at his side. When we When we look about the world, we know that our Lord is not loved. So many run away from his love. But what's the reason for that? It's merely because they do not know him. And so in you and I, in a reparation for their lack of knowledge, their lack of love for him, we push all the more deeply into that. And through the example of what one who actually knows and loves God, which is what the Mass is supposed to do for you and I, the whole purpose that God has given us, his one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church, it is through that example that more souls can be drawn to Christ. Seeing him incarnate in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary may be too tough for those to see. But seeing her give birth to Christ in you and I, for him to be recapitulated or reborn in us in this Advent season, that's the way that most will see him known. And in our example, we can hope that he will be loved in them as well. We ask for this grace in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.